Right. Galatians chapter number 2. In verse number 20, if you're there, say amen. Amen. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the church said, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the reading of your word. First Sunday of the new year, I pray, Lord, we'd start it off right. Lord, that we would give you full honor and glory for everything that you're going to do in this service. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. We were talking about New Year's resolutions just a few minutes ago, and there's one problem with New Year's resolutions. They usually tend to go in one year and out the other. And today I'd like to consider adopting this particular verse for a New Year's resolution, if you will. Some people choose Bible verses at the beginning of the year to set the theme of the coming year. And I submit to you, this is a good one. If you don't know this one, if you haven't never memorized this verse, it is a great verse. And I'm going to try my best to explain it to you the best way I know how. You say, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. If you're crucified, that means you're supposed to be dead. But then the verse says, yet I live. So how can you be crucified and live at the same time? Well, I'm going to explain it to you, and this is going to be a little different Sunday morning message, so you'll have to stay with me just for a few minutes. But if you'll listen all the way to the end, 2021 will be a whole lot different for you than last year. How many of you ever wondered this? Why can't I live the Christian life? I've tried to live the Christian life. I can't. Every time I try to do right, every time I try to start reading my Bible, every time I start to pray, and I pray 2 or 3 days in a row, boy, I'm really doing good, and all of a sudden it just goes down to the bottom. And I'm reading my verse, and by the time I get to Leviticus, I done quit my Bible reading for the year. And how many of y'all like that? Especially when you get to the begat so-and-so, and so I skip over all that. Y'all pray for me. And you read all of that, and you're like, why in the world am I having to read all this kind of stuff? So-and-so begat so-and-so, and all. Let me get to the good stuff. And so we struggle, and we try. We know we're saved. We got saved at a young age or whatever you got saved, and it's just so difficult trying to serve the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, 2020, we're just trying to survive. But in 2021, we're going to try to get revived. How about that? And so I'm going to share with you just a few minutes, dying for a new beginning. Wouldn't you like to have a new beginning? Now, before I got saved, I was lost. Before I got saved, I was dead in trespasses and in sin. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2? It says, in you hath he quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in times past, that's before you got saved, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the way you were before you got saved. And this is the way. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, this right here is what you looked like before you got saved. Before you got saved, we're both up here trying to control this thing, and sometimes our wires get crossed. He cut off the wrong picture. This right here is what you looked like before you got saved. Have you ever, you remember feeling like before you got saved was empty. On the inside, it was a void. You ever notice how this compares to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's the way you were before you got saved. That's why you didn't have a desire to go to church. That's why you didn't have a desire to read your Bible. That's why you didn't have a desire to pray. It was a void. You tried to fill it with everything. Yes, you would come to church on Christmas and Easter because that's what you're supposed to do, but it still didn't fill that void. And you would give some money in the offering. Maybe that would make you feel better. And you tried turning over a new leaf. You tried making New Year's resolution. I'm going to quit cussing. I'm going to quit doing this. And I'm going to quit doing that. And all that kind of stuff. And there was still a void on the inside. You remember that? But that Bible says, form and void, darkness on the face of the deep. But there was a time and a place, I hope, when the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters. You remember that time when you were sitting in church, wherever it was, and the preacher was preaching and you felt under conviction? When I say under conviction, I mean you got nervous. You wanted to hurry up and you were like doing the Baptist salute. And you're trying to hurry up. What are we going to have for lunch? You're checking your phone. Maybe I can drown this preacher out, and let me do this. And why? Because there's conviction. The Spirit of God is trying to move on that darkness and on that voidness on the inside. And then one day you accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You know what that Bible says? But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Did you realize you went from this to this? And there's somebody on the inside, living on the inside of you now. At the moment of salvation, the believer. You ever wondered the terminology in the Bible? It says you must be born again. You ever wondered that? Because you're like, okay, I've already been born once. Why do I need to be born again? And after I got saved, I'm still the same size, same age. But what was born again was a fella on the inside that just moved in. He moved in. And listen, let me just say this right here. When you were like this, you could do anything you wanted to. You go anywhere you wanted to go. Nothing bothered you. But now, when it's like this, there's two people living in on the same house. And how many of you married people know that when you were single, after you get married, there's another person to consider? Or things are not going to be too good. If you live a married life and you still acting single, then there's going to be problems in bedrock. Because now that you're saved, there are two people living on the inside of the same house, and you've got to take that other party into consideration. Now, this new man on the inside, he has been born again. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So this guy right here, it's been born inside of you. So it's like this. It's when you get saved, just picture this. Little baby Jesus just moves in on the inside of you. That's why Paul said this. Paul said, "Till Christ be formed in you." Paul was already saved. But Paul says, "I want this little baby Jesus, when I first got saved, I want him to grow and become as big as me, bigger than me." Y'all still with me on a Sunday morning? This may be a little Wednesday night thing, but you need this on the first Sunday of the new year. I'm going to tell you how not to survive, but how to be revived. And so this guy on the inside, now there's two people living on the inside of you. And the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." New creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You don't want to do the old things you used to do. You don't want to go to the same place you used to go. You don't want to drink the same thing. You just change fountains. Amen. So there's a difference. There's something has changed on the inside of you. So now you have two people living on the inside of you. Now, let me say this right here. When you got saved, guess what? When I got saved as a 10-year-old boy, I got up, 10-year-old boy. My skin didn't change. You know, all that kind of stuff. Guess what? My knees hurt. My back hurts. This thing, my old man didn't get saved. He needs to be saved bad. That's why he's headed for the graveyard. You say, oh, preacher, man, my whole thing. Oh, well, all right, then why you got a headache then? Why you got a backache then? This old body I didn't get rid of. He's still hanging around. The only thing that changed was the Lord Jesus Christ moved on the inside of me. And now there's two people living on the inside of the same house. And now they are, let me just tell you what the Bible says about them two people. It's almost like you become a split personality. It's almost like, you know, before, like I told you, you could do anything you want to do. Nothing bothered you. But now, as a Christian, Jesus Christ lives on the inside of me. And now there's certain things that if I do, the Holy Spirit, the Lord goes, that ain't good. If you don't have that on the inside of you, you might need to do a little checkup on the first Sunday of the new year. But that Bible says this, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's, Paul says there's two guys. There's the Spirit, and then there's the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Now that word lusteth is almost like a tug of war. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. You know what that Bible says? He said, preacher, the Bible's hard to understand. It's not hard to understand. That says them two guys don't like one another. Them two guys don't like one another. Them two guys don't like one another. They don't like the same. They don't eat the same food. They eat totally different food. They grow with totally different nutrition. But it's almost like, here's a good one. Here's a good quote I saw. Two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul. The one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. You know, you got two guys living on the inside of you. And so now, have you ever wondered, why can't I live the Christian life? There's two guys on the inside of you fighting. Man, they're fighting you. Did you ever notice this? You ever wondered this? You can get up. Some of you, I know some, get up real early and go to work 4, 3, 3:30. What? I didn't even know 3:30 come twice a day. And some people get up and go 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. That alarm clock, boy, phew, here they go. They get ready, and everything's running smooth. I mean, the car's running fine, the heater and everything. Boy, here you go work, and boy, have a good day. But on Sunday morning, church don't start till 10. You wake up late. I mean, the husband, he's like, come on, you're going to make us late again. Well, if you'd have got up when you're supposed to, we'd be on time. Well, if you wouldn't have burnt them biscuits, I'm still choking over that. Are y'all with somebody? Wave at me right there. That don't happen any other time except when? On Sunday morning. Why? Because them two guys don't like one another. You can find socks any morning except Sunday morning. You can find hairbrushes any morning you want to, except Sunday morning you can't find nothing. Nothing goes right on Sunday morning. Why? Because them two guys on the inside don't like one another. One likes to go to church, one don't. One likes to pray, one don't. One likes to read the Bible, one don't. the spirit lusts against the flesh. And that's like all time. It's always like this. That's why it's a fight. It's a struggle. Which one of these guys is going to control me in 2021? The one I feed the most. The one of the guys that, one of these guys that I feed the most. Here they are, boy, here they are. And the, you see the Superman, the spirit over there. He's looking over at the flesh. You will never defeat me. The spirit will always win. The flesh says, well, maybe so. But I'm going to fight you until the day this body of flesh finally dies. I'm going to fight you every step of the way. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me just pull it out of you. Let me pull it out of you. When we leave here in just a few minutes, 45 an hour, a few minutes, we pull out. I'm going to find out where you're parked. And I'm going to make sure I get right in front of you. When we pull out, I'm going to get in front of you. Speed limit on this road's 55. I'm going to drive about 35. And on Millsfield Highway, there's no place to pass. Okay? I might slow down to 20 some, and I'll speed up to about 40 maybe just a little bit. And then, I'm going to come back down to 35, and you're going to be right up on the bumper. You're saved. You just come from church. You know what that guy over there in the red's going to be doing? I get my hands on that preacher. The spirit over here is going, settle down. You ain't got nowhere to be. Settle down. He may be saving you. I'm trying to save you from a wreck down the road. Chill out. Stay off his bumper. My flesh is like, get out of the way. Somebody wave at me right there. There he is. Do you know I still have trouble with anger? You know I still have trouble with just, driving is my pet. I mean, that's, if you don't know how to drive, you know, I pretty well have, you know, I can't even say that. I started to say I've conquered everything. No, I ain't even conquered that, but I can't even conquer this driving thing. We was going down on the interstate or whatever, and one of my worst is when you got two lanes going the same direction. You're supposed to have a passing lane. Well, these two cars in front of you are driving same speed in both lanes, side by side, for miles and miles and miles. And I'm up there. I'm going to tell you, I go up there and I try to get right. I'm pushing them. I'm blinking lights, honking. People say, why don't you have a church bumper sticker on you? That's why I don't have a church bumper sticker on my car. I don't want them to know. I get mad. I'm like, would you please get out of my way? Have you ever noticed this? Now, I love to have church in the car. I can have church in the car. I turn the gospel music on, and boy, and my certain favorite songs come on, and everybody's got their favorites, and boy, I'm sitting there going, whoo, hallelujah. Boy, Lord, man, that's good. That's good. And the Holy Spirit, he comes. The Holy Spirit dove comes in, flies in right there, sits right down in the passenger seat. You ever been there? And all of a sudden, I mean, you might be sitting there and boy, I'm telling you, Lord, boy, you've been good to me. Woo, boy, you've been good to me. That song was really good. Holy Spirit's just sitting right there. We just having good time together driving down the road. I might be praying and, you know, this, that, and the other and just getting a little church in. How many of y'all realize you don't have to be in church? You can be in church in the car, wherever, going down the road, get a little church in. And all of a sudden, I mean, somebody pulls out in front of you, no blinker, and I'm having to push on the brake and stop and all of this, and all of a sudden, I mean, like I'm Holy Spirit, he just gets up, flies out the window. Y'all with me? Or how many like this one? You've heard this one before, but I'm telling you, it's still true. Merge. One lane, we're going down to one lane in 1 mile. Merge, blinking, yellow or orange. Merge now. And you got some that's going to zoom past me, speed up, and at the last second, swoop over in front. Not while I'm driving, you ain't. I will run you into that blinking sign in the name of the Lord. And won't think twice about it. Why? Because them two guys don't like one another. You say, preacher, you're supposed to be saved. I know I'm supposed to be saved. I am saved. I am. I promise I am. But some stuff, this old man, we still battle. This old man, sometimes they get in a fight all the time. And old Romans 8 over there says, if we live after the flesh, if we feed that guy, we're going to die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. Ain't that something? Isn't that something? That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, all through the Old Testament, there's examples of this. All through the Old Testament, y'all remember Noah, the flood. Y'all remember the Noah and the flood story? They landed after the 40 days and 40 nights and all that of rain and this, that, and the other, and everything started to dissipate, and the water started going down, and Noah sent out a raven. Noah sent out a dove. One, the raven found something dead he liked. You say, what's that? When you're on the road and something's already been run over, and before you get there, all them buzzards are, they like dead stuff. Boy, I knew I shouldn't have preached this on a Sunday morning. They like dead stuff. But that dove came back with a green olive or a green a leaf in his mouth. Something that was living. Them two guys don't like one another. And so, hey, while we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, I tell you this. It's almost like this fella that I heard about that had a leak in his bathroom and the faucet was dripping. And he comes into his bathroom, the faucet's running wide open, and his bathroom is flooded. He gets a mop and he starts mopping. He keeps mopping. He gets a bigger mop, still no good. He goes to mopping classes. He thinks he just don't know how to mop good. And he goes to mopping classes. The water's still rising and it's getting worse and worse. He hires some help. He goes and gets some help. No good. He comes down to the church and rededicates his life to mopping. He rededicates his life, shakes the preacher's hand, says, I'm going to rededicate my life and be a better mopper this year than I ever have before. And he mops and he mops and he mops, and finally he just believes that he's supposed to just live this way. He buys him a pair of rubber boots, a water bed, and he just settles down into a flooded house. The easy solution is this. Just turn the faucet off. You got to cut that guy off. You got to cut him off. Because there's two guys wanting to live inside of you. And when you first get saved, that's what it looks like. When you first get saved, that baby comes and boy, he's wanting to take over. And then the more you come to church, the more you read your Bible, the more you pray, this thing starts growing and growing and growing, and then he gets bigger and bigger. But then here comes the problem. When he gets that big, he wants to take over. He wants to start telling me what to do. And how many of y'all know after you get 18, nobody tells me what to do anymore? My boys, boy, I can't wait till I get 18. Do what I want to do. And how many times, you ask them. Now, Ethan's not here, but Dalton is, ask them. How many times they've told me since? Boy, I sure would like to be back at the house where you paid all the bills. I'll do anything you say. Isn't that something? Now, let me say this. That's the way it is. God never intended it to stay that way. But let me say this, most Christians live that way. They get saved. Guess what? I'm not going to hell anymore. That's all I wanted. All I want is fire insurance. I don't want to go to hell. Lord, come to my heart and save me. And the Lord starts growing in you, and he wants you to do more. Now, Lord, I didn't agree to all of that. Now, I just wanted you to save me from hell. Now, y'all don't get quiet on me now. I'm almost to the end of this thing. Y'all get quiet, I'm going to start circling. God says, I want to grow. I want to take over. This is the way it's intended to be. You got to cut him off. Quit feeding him. Quit feeding him. Now, let me say this. You say, you know, now, this is what you say. You're thinking, okay, we're in church on Sunday morning. Right now, we don't have Sunday night, but we have Sunday morning and Wednesday night. That's what we have. That's where we get fed. That's where he gets fed. Okay? So we went Sunday morning and Wednesday night. But the other 5 days, you're out in the world. You're having to hear stuff at the break table you wish you didn't have to hear. You're having to be out in the world and all that kind of stuff, and you're in the mix of all of that, and you're getting 5 days of that and 2 days. 2 days of this. Now you tell me who's going to win if them two get in a fight. That's why people live defeated Christian lives. They come down to altar every Sunday. Lord, I'm going to rededicate. And listen, if you don't cut that guy off, you can rededicate till you're blue in the face. And you, it won't never get any better. You keep feeding him and he'll dominate. So if you're only getting this twice, guess what that means? That means you're going to have to start having church on your own on Monday. That means you're going to have to start having church on your own on Tuesday. That means you're going to start having church on your own on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. You say, preacher, how the church ain't even open on Monday? Let me tell you, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, it'll change your life in 2021. Ready? Get up in the morning. Turn you on some, what do we do? We sung 4 songs this morning. We prayed after the first one. And let's see, we took up an offering. I don't know how you take up an offering in your car. You just have to give to yourself, I guess. And then we have preaching, and then we have an invitation at the end. So, okay, you have to do that at home. You said, preacher, how do I do that at home? You're going to have to start off with some songs, good songs. Good songs. Good gospel Christian songs. Whether you're you say, preacher, I ain't got time. Get it on the car on the way to work. Start having your church. You say, preacher, what about? And then what do? When you pull it, go to your work 15 minutes early. You done had your songs on the way to work. You're gonna get there 15 minutes and say, okay, Lord, I got 15 minutes. I'm here 15 minutes early. Cut the phone off. All right. Let me read. Lord, speak to my heart right now. In the beginning, God created the heaven, the earth, that form of glory, darkness on the face of the deep, so on. Read. What else do we do in church? We pray. So then you, dear Lord, you say, preacher, I don't know what to pray for. You don't know what to pray for. You woke up this morning, didn't you? Are you still breathing? You don't know what to pray for. I tell you, if you don't know what to pray for, just start right here on the front row. And just in your mind. Dear Lord, right now, I pray for Sammy right now. Pray for him, his whole family. Lord, I lift him up right now. I pray for Charlie. Charlie and his wife, Phyllis. Lord, she makes a good chocolate pie. Hallelujah. And Lord, I pray for them. I pray that you'd always protect her hands to be able to do that. Hallelujah. You know, just go to pray for Ruby and Johnny. Lord, Miss Nancy. Lord, and she can hug me, and we still be social distance. It's 6 foot, you know, and Lord, we just thank you for that. And thank you for Cecil and Carol. I mean, just go through the whole thing. Lord, I pray for my older sister. God, you know she needs prayer right now. Lord, help. And that brother you gave me, Lord, I'm a... You do that right there. You done 30 minutes praying. You late for work. And then give yourself an invitation. Lord, you saw what I read. Is there anything in there I need to fix? Lord, point it out right now. The invitation. Lord, I'm coming right now. In my heart, I'm coming. I'm kneeling at the altar. Lord, show me what I need to fix to make my Monday better. Lord, show me what I need to fix to make my Tuesday better. And then you'll see that guy grow and grow and grow. And you'll see this other guy. You'll find it easier to come to church. You'll find it easier to read your Bible. You'll find it easier. Why? Because he's bigger. You say, preacher, what in the world? What kind of sermon was that on a Sunday morning? One that'll get you from survival to revival. One that'll get you just from trying to survive and make it another day to one that'll revive you in your heart. That'll change you. Do it for, listen, make a commitment this month. Just do it for 30 days. Do it for the rest of January and see how it works. Have your own church. Be here on Sunday. Have your own church on Monday. Maybe you want to do it with your wife. Maybe you have time. Maybe you're retired. You have time to do. And when I say do church, I'm saying, hey, just worship the Lord. And make that guy grow. Paul says, that's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But it's Christ that liveth in me. He's the one that's living through me. I'm done. I didn't bring a glove. I've seen my dad do this illustration 1,000 times. He'd bring a glove. And that glove, he'd lay it on the pulpit, and he'd tell that glove. He'd say, glove, go to church. Glove, read your Bible. Glove, do right. That glove wouldn't move. He'd dead. And then he'd pick that glove and put his hand in it, and that glove becomes alive because of what's inside. Amen. And now that glove starts moving. Why? Because of something on the inside. Amen. To get you from survival to revival. How to live a victorious life. Crucified with Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. I pray I got the point across. I tried my best visually to use visuals, Lord, to get my point across. And Lord, I pray not that I got my point, but you got yours across. And I pray, Lord God, as Sam is making his way to Piana, and Lord, he's just going to play whatever comes to his heart. And